Ahlquist, Anderson, Berryhill, Blakeslee, Calderon, Canella, Corbett, Correa, DeLeon, DeSaunier, Dutton, Emerson, Evans, Fuller, Gaines, Hancock, Harmon, Hernandez, Huff, Kehoe, LaMalfa, Leno, Liu, Lowenthal, Nugetta McLeod, Padilla, Pavley, Price, Rubio, Smidian, Steinberg, Strickland, Vargas, Walters, Wolk, Wright, Weiland, Yee.
Madam President, we are lacking a quorum.
Members, the secretary notices a lack of a quorum. Will members please come to the chambers and report to their desks? Would the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery please stand? We'll be led in prayer this afternoon by Senator Wright, acting as our guest chaplain, and then we will be led in the pledge to our flag by Senator Corbett.
Thank you, members and guests. Today we celebrate the first Monday of Black History Month. The idea of celebrating Black History Month was the brainchild of the famous African-American historian, Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Dr. Woodson observed that in order to gain respect in American society, your accomplishments had to be recognized in print or you were simply overlooked. So in 1926, he chose the second week of February as Negro History Week. Contrary to the popular urban legend, February was not chosen because it was the shortest month. Fact is, Dr. Woodson decided on February because Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass were both born in that second week of February. And to him at the time, they were the two most important figures in Negro history. In 1976, Negro History Week was changed to Black History Month and expanded to the format that we know today. Then as now, there was much debate as to whether or not the idea of celebrating Black history was a good one. Concerns and debate continue regarding whether or not commercialization and racial focus is actually counterproductive to race relations. It was always Dr. Woodson's dream that the idea would outlive its usefulness and that African-American history would be integrated into the American fabric. Just as Dr. Woodson recognized that Lincoln and Douglass, as the two most significant individuals in Black history for the time, a Black man and a white man, real progress today is achieved by people working to understand the other guy's point of view. In the New Testament book of Mark, there's an excellent example of the disciples having to expand their worldview. For those of you who want to read it for yourselves, I'm reading from Mark 9, verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us." Black History Month and the parable in Mark are examples of people from different backgrounds working together for a common goal. The lesson here for us as leaders in California is that we must work toward a common goal. Good ideas are not the sole province of one side of the aisle or the other. We must be ever so careful not to let the perfect become the enemy of the good. And if I could close with the words of James Weldon Johnson, "God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our heart, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand, true to our God and true to our native land." Amen.
Privileges of the floor, members. Is Senator Rubio on the floor?
Can you just make that announcement for me?
Yes. Senator Rubio is joined today by a special guest, his daughter Ileana, so without objection, she may be seated with her father. First, privileges of the floor, introductions. If not seeing no introductions, we'll move on to messages from the governor. They'll be deemed read. Messages from the assembly. Mr. Secretary, will you please read?
Madam President, I am directed to inform your honorable body that the assembly on this day adopted Assembly Concurrent Resolution 8 and Assembly Concurrent Resolution 11.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And reports of any committees, please read.
Madam President, the Chair of the Committee on Banking and Financial Institutions, to which was referred Senate Bill 53, reports the same back with author's amendments with a recommendation amend and re-refer to the committee.
Members will move on to motions and resolutions and notices. Senator Steinberg, you and Senator Hancock have an adjourned memory.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Members, I rise today to adjourn the State Senate in memory of Charlene Jackson, the beloved wife of Bishop Bob Jackson of Axeville Gospel Church of God in Christ in Oakland, California. Sister Charlene, as she was lovingly known by a huge congregation and by the entire Oakland community, was office manager, choir director, coordinator of the praise team, chief greeter, chief outreach worker in this church. She grew up as a teenager In the Tremont Home for Children in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and a program she applauds for supporting her during her teenage years. She graduated from high school, became a women's counselor, an author, and a figure very, very important in creating institutions that support people in Oakland. She is mourned by her 5 children, 12 grandchildren, her husband, an enormous congregation, and the entire community of Oakland. And we extend our sympathy and our love to all of the people who her lives have touched.
Thank you, Senator Hancock. And we'll go to Senator Steinberg.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I actually have two adjourning memories, if I might. The father.
Without objection.
Fathers of two of our fine legislative employees passed away in the last several days. First of all, William Long, who's the father of Jeff Long, the chief consultant with the Assembly Appropriations Committee and a good friend of many of ours. He passed away on the 3rd of February at the age of 84. He had a long career working for Hennepin County in Minnesota in child welfare for 40 years, where he developed the adoption program for special needs children. He had 17 grandchildren, was a loving husband, father, and grandfather. The funeral mass today in Minneapolis, we just want to give our condolences to Jeff and his entire family.
Thank you, Senator Steinberg. And the desk does need that name.
We'll do that. The second is John Liebert, who was a preeminent public sector labor relations attorney, and the father of Drew Liebert, who's the chief counsel at the Assembly Judiciary Committee. John Liebert passed away last night after a short and courageous battle with cancer. He was 81 years old. He had a great life story. He emigrated as a boy from Nazi Germany. He grew up in New York City. He came out west and earned his law degree. He had an outstanding reputation as a top-notch labor lawyer. He helped found Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore, 70-attorney law firm. He was preceded in death by his wife, by his son Doug, and he is survived by Drew and daughter Deb, 9 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and literally hundreds of colleagues and admirers. We send our condolences as well to Drew Liebert and his family. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Steinberg. And Senator DeSaunier, do you have an adjourned memory already? Thank you. To Senator Steinberg and to Senator Hancock, thank you for your words, and the Senate offers its condolences to the families. We will go to introductions and first reading of bills. Mr. Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 173 by Senator Simidian, an act relating to health care coverage. Senate Bill 174 by Senator Emerson, an act relating to community care facilities. Senate Bill 175 by Senator Corbett, an act relating to public contracts. Senate Bill 176 by Senator Emerson, an act relating to public social service. Senate Bill 177 by Senator Strickland, an act relating to health facilities. Senate Bill 178 by Senator Simidian, an act relating to hazardous materials. Senate Bill 179 by Senator Pavley, an act relating to sex offenders. Senate Bill 180 by Senator Corbett, an act relating to consumer affairs. Senate Bill 181 by Senator Liu, an act relating to public post-secondary education. Senate Bill 182 by Senator Corbett, an act relating to judicial appointments. And Senate Bill 183 by Senator Correa, an act relating to ballots.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And Senator Leno, you have an announcement?
Yes, I do, Madam President. Thank you. I would like to extend a warm invitation to all of our colleagues and staff members and friends, anyone who would like to join us, the LGBT Legislative Caucus, chaired by Madam President Christine Kehoe is hosting a reception tonight from 5:30 until 7:30 at 1201 K Street on the 15th floor. The caucus has now grown to an historic membership of 7, and we would like everyone to be able to greet the new members and to recognize the growth and the fact of the caucus, the largest one of its kind anywhere in the United States of America. So please do join us. Good food, drink, and conversation is guaranteed.
Thank you, Senator Leno.
1201 K Street, 15th floor.
Senator Steinberg, if there's no other business before the House, then the desk is clear.
Thank you, Madam President. Session will resume Thursday at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Steinberg. Then the Senate will be in recess until 3:30 today, at which time the adjournment motion will be made, and then we'll see you back here on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. The session is in recess.